you've got your Bibles, you can either turn them on, open them up, or look to the screen. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Verse 7. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you'll be honoured in the presence of all your other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, or your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
It's an absolute delight to be sharing with you this morning. I bring you the greetings of Adelaide West Uniting Church, where I have the privilege of being in ministry there. But it's a real privilege and joy to be able to share with you as my sending church our inter-ministry. Have you ever sat in a seat and been asked to move? Someone's come to you and said, this seat is reserved and you need to move. How do you feel? You've been at a work do? You've sat next to a board member or the boss? And perhaps they haven't said anything, but you know you should not have sat there. Or you've sat somewhere new at the footy or cricket. And you've been asked to move because you're not a member. And these seats are reserved for people that are not like you. Or perhaps you've dashed into the supermarket, grabbed a few things in the trolley, and you've found the shortest line. And while you're standing there, the manager comes past and somewhat grumpily says, excuse me, but this line is for 8 items or less. And you have significantly more. And you need to go over there. And so you do the walk of shame. No hands up. But can you picture the scene? Can you feel the embarrassment and the humiliation in that? Because Jesus is telling a story, a parable, about just that sort of situation. Except the finding of the best seat or the lining up in the shortest queue is actually quite intentional. You know, we've heard a story of Jesus going to the house of a prominent Pharisee. I wonder, why was he invited? Because he wasn't popular with the Pharisees, and yet he was invited. Perhaps it was to set him up in some way. And in fact, we do read that he was being carefully watched. And it goes on to describe an incident in the first part of that chapter that we haven't heard today, where Jesus heals a man from dropsy, which was this abnormal swelling. on the Sabbath. And there's a whole interchange on that. But then Luke writes on, Jesus notices how the guests chose the places of honour, like at that work dinner where everyone tries to sit near the boss, or at a dinner where you want to be seen and noticed. What about at a wedding where there's clearly a flow of hierarchy here? The head table with the seats reserved for the wedding party, as they should be. And then the close tables with the family and the really good friends. And you might be sitting way back in the corner. And nobody wants to sit way back in the corner because that means you were close to not being invited at all. And you may be sitting next to that awkward aunt or that distant cousin that just had to be invited to the wedding. So Jesus uses a wedding banquet in this parable. A parable is just a simple story that illustrates a moral or a spiritual lesson. And whenever we come across a parable, it's good to know its context. It helps us understand what the parable is saying. And the context here is a meal at a leading Pharisee's house, and it's quite a show. It's a big deal. There's lots of people and they're manoeuvring for the better seats. Guests are jostling each other. Now, eating together is potentially contentious amongst the ancient Jews because their tradition contains so many rules and restrictions about how and what and when you could eat, as well as who you could eat with. And Jesus had a previous mealtime in the home of a Pharisee that hadn't gone well. It erupted into conflict when he dared to allow a sinful woman to anoint his feet. And this meal is quite sensitive because it's on the Sabbath, when there are a lot more rules and regulations to abide by. So Jesus is walking around and he notices that everyone is trying to show off to everyone else. They're trying to get the best seat at the table. And he says, don't pick the best seat. Don't run the risk of being asked in front of everyone to go to the back corner, the lowest seat. Don't elbow yourself into the place of honour where you could end up red-faced as you walk the walk of shame. Or as the Message Bible puts it so well, don't walk around with your nose in the air or you'll end up flat on your face. And instead, he tells them to sit at the lowest place, the least important. It's better to wait for the host to regard you as a friend and ask you to sit at the higher place. You know, to be regarded as a friend is a distinct honour. And there's a polarity here, a contrast between shame and honour. Humility was not a virtue at the time. In fact, it was quite the opposite. It was shameful to not seek honour. It was shameful to not seek honour. So Jesus is once again turning their value system completely upside down. He's talking about an alternative reality. Instead of exalting themselves, they were to be humble, and it's through humility that they are exalted. And then he turns to the host and he addresses him. We know this is a prominent Pharisee, so he would have been a leader. He would have studied law, he would have had good standing, a good status, and been an expert in righteousness. And Jesus challenges him with these words: do not invite your friends, brothers and sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. You know, the ones with the pool and the fancy barbecue. There goes lunch that you've planned today. And then he lists four groups that we should not invite, precisely the ones that we do. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't invite them at all. We know that Jesus ate with friends and with relatives. In fact, it's an idiom. It's like a turn of phrase. The literal would be not X but Y. But this idiom is not so much X but rather Y, and idioms were commonly used at the time this was written. So the teaching is not to be taken literally, but there's a posture, a principle to listen to here. It's an attitude that we're to adopt. Perhaps lunch today is back on after all. Reciprocity is giving hospitality only to those who are able to return it. And this was the norm in the ancient world. And here Jesus is once again rejecting the norm. He's saying, don't invite for networking and self-promotion. It's not about increasing your social stock. Take no account of anyone's resume or social media status when making the invitation list. You invite those not who benefit you, but those who you can serve. And so he balances this first list with another list of four: the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Social outcasts at the time. In fact, these were the very people that were barred from entering the Qumran community, which was this pious religious order of the day. In this, we hear that we're not to prioritize inviting the powerful or the well-to-do, the neighbor with the pool, because they might return the invitation. Instead, we are to prioritize inviting the poor and the powerless, those who've never had such a meal and who can't return the favour, the social outcasts of our day. Makes me wonder, you know, who are the social outcasts of our day? Perhaps refugees, minority groups, the vulnerable, people living with disabilities, different racial groups, kids with parents in prison, people who have come out of prison. You know, we're talking about the poor, the forgotten, and the powerless. Instead of seeking power and social position in our current culture, we cultivate and practice humility. God doesn't look at the glitter of our guest list, the status on our social media account, or the position of our social media friends. We're not to discriminate. You know, Jesus is protesting against discriminatory meal practices. Clearly, Jesus and the Pharisees ate quite differently. And for Jesus, there is inclusion, foreshadowing the inclusiveness of God's kingdom. Perhaps it's time for us to learn new table manners. Luke has more mealtime scenes than any of the others. The parable of the prodigal son is in the next chapter, and that ends with this festive meal. And it's said that in Luke, Jesus is either coming from a meal, at a meal, or going to a meal. So unsurprisingly, here in chapter 14, Luke has brought together two events about meals. And there are parallels between the two, and it's easy to miss them. A common pattern that we can notice. You know, when you are invited, do not sit in case. Or when you give a dinner, do not invite in case. But when you're invited, sit. So that. But when you give a banquet, invite. Then you'll be honoured. You will be blessed. Humble will be exalted, and you'll be repaid. When, do not, but then you will. Jesus is challenging the guests and the hosts in a similar fashion and challenging us. When, do not, but then you will. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus was a master at picking up habits of people, of noticing people's behaviours. And they're strikingly similar to ours. And here he's saying, don't position yourselves. We can even do this as a church. Position ourselves as being the greatest church. Better than others. Bigger than others. We have it together. And when Jesus says, when invited, don't sit in the honoured place, he's telling us to beware of self-positioning ourselves. We're all tempted to do this. We're tempted to exalt ourselves. Just look at Facebook or Instagram. Instead, we look to God to position us. And we start with humility, simply serving wherever God has us, individually and as a church together. We follow the example of Jesus, and we note that Jesus gave his life away. In baptism, we're able to identify with Jesus in this. We give our life away by giving up our seat, by giving up our status, by giving up our time. And when we give up our position, we think of everyone differently. We invite and welcome those who can't repay. We stop wanting to promote ourselves. Stop looking at relationships that benefit us, me, and give us something back. We invite and welcome those without position. You know, Tim Hine from the college put up a tweet on Twitter a few weeks ago. It's a quote from the late John Smith from the God Squad, one of my heroes of the faith. And he said, it's not what you earn, it's who you eat with. It's not what you earn, it's who you eat with that defines us. You know, Jesus was defined by who he ate with. And so we can be defined by who we eat with. I think sometimes we see life as a battle of musical chairs. And we think there's always one seat less. There are too few seats. We all know musical chairs. We have the chairs in the middle, the people going around on the outside, watching the chairs, not looking at the others, single focused on those chairs because you know there is one too few chairs. And the music stops and there's this rush, bedlam, bodies are flying. I've seen this at times with adults and it's been worse than kids. We fight over a chair. We fight over our own way, our pride. And in the end, we end up with one chair and we're all alone. The first wins. The second is the first loser. And when we win at the expense of others losing. And when we win at the expense of losing others. We think there aren't enough chairs. And so we compete to win. And we're all alone. But we're created for community. We need community. Don't sit alone. Find someone to sit with. We're created for community. Find someone to sit with at school, at uni, at work, in the community, in our extended families, even in our church. Sit with the stranger. Find the person who's alone. In God's kingdom, we all get a seat. Don't build life on musical chairs. But on welcoming people to an empty seat. We invite people to this table. What really matters is the seat in the family of God. And in God's kingdom, we all get a seat. Don't build life on musical chairs. The seat in the family of God is the seat of grace. Now, if you're struggling in life, God gives us grace. And if you're struggling with pride, let me introduce you to grace. And if you're struggling with self-worth, don't feel that you are enough, then let me introduce you to grace. Because the best seat is God's seat, and it's the seat of grace. If you give up your seat and you invite other people, you receive a seat, and it's with others. It's not alone. It's in community, which is what we are created for. God gives us a mission of loving people, of offering a seat. I love how the late Rachel Evans puts this. It's got this beautiful quote. This is what God's kingdom is like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table. Is that a good description of us? Not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes. And there's always room for more. There's always room for more. These are the best seats. There's another way. There's God's way. The kingdom of God is an alternative reality to the world that is around us. We're not all perfect. No one here is more important than anyone else. And if we start thinking we're better, and if I'm honest, if we're honest, we do that at times. Confess that to God. Follow the example of Jesus. Live in humility. Focus on beyond ourselves. Because my life is not based on me. My life is based on us. Our lives are based on us. You know, in this passage, Jesus is not commenting on social etiquette or how to get on in society. This is not about winning friends and influencing people. After all, the Pharisees were actually doing religion pretty well. But they were doing humility really badly. And I wonder if we're a bit the same. So Jesus teaches us a different way to live. He brings a countercultural social system. Once again, an alternative reality, and it includes a life of humility. Don't build your life on musical chairs, but on inviting and welcoming people, all people, to an empty seat just for them. Jesus gave his life, took the lowest position, the position of the cross, so that we could all be invited. And we know that Jesus was exalted and is exalted. He is in the highest place at the right hand of God. And God invites us into the meal, in God's kingdom, in God's way of living here on earth. God is the host. Perhaps we are the broken, the poor, the blind and the lame. And God doesn't discriminate. All are invited, including social outcasts of our day. All are invited and welcomed, and that includes you and that includes me. In God's kingdom, God's reign here on earth, the best seats are offered by God to us and through us to others. There's a seat for you. And it's the best seat. It's the best seat. Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you that you welcome us, that you are the host. You offer each of us a seat in your kingdom, in your reign here on earth. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave your life. You took the lowest position so that we could be invited to the best seats and to offer the best seats to others. We're sorry for those times when we haven't come in humility, when we've treated others poorly, when we've discriminated, and when we haven't offered the seats. Thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross for us, these things and all our sins are forgiven. And I pray specifically for anyone here this morning who hasn't accepted your seat, that doesn't know the seat of grace. We pray that they would know your welcome, your invitation to the best seat. And Holy Spirit, lead us to the people to sit with, people who are lonely or shunned by society. Help us to be open and to be welcoming to all, and inviting all into our homes and into our church. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.